Should law school graduates in Iowa have to take the bar exam to practice law in the state? They do now, but the Iowa Bar Association says they shouldn't have to. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. The Iowa Bar Association has recommended to the Iowa State Supreme Court that our state's law school graduates shouldn't have to take the bar exam. We'll find out why from the president of the bar, Guy Cook. State Representative Chip Baltimore isn't convinced this change would be a good idea. He'll join us as well. The proposal is modeled after a practice in Wisconsin, so we'll talk with two legal minds there. Examining the value of our bar exam after this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. The Iowa Bar Association has recommended to the Iowa State Supreme Court that Iowa's law schools should institute a so-called diploma privilege for Iowa law school graduates. Now, what this means is that Iowa law school graduates from either the University of Iowa or Drake, those are our state's only two law schools, wouldn't have to take the bar exam to practice law in the state. What is a bar exam? Well, it's an examination administered in each state to assess whether or not a candidate is competent to practice law in that jurisdiction. Now, for this change, the Iowa Supreme Court is seeking public comment on the change until July 14th. The president of the bar, Guy Cook, says dropping the bar requirement for law students in Iowa is long overdue, and we'll hear more reasons from him in just a few minutes. Also from State Representative Chip Baltimore, who isn't convinced this change would be a good idea for Iowa. Wisconsin is currently the only state that is doing what Iowa State's Bar Association is proposing. We'll talk with a judge in that state, also an associate dean of the University of Wisconsin. We'd like to hear from you as well this hour. Join our discussion. Are you an attorney in the state? What's the value of the bar exam? Is it the most effective way to ensure that attorneys are ready to do their jobs? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. You can email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Iowa Public Radio is also on Facebook, where you can make a comment or a question or tweet us at IPR Talk. Let's start off with Natalie Vierden. She just graduated from the University of Iowa Law School this past weekend. Natalie Vierden, are you there?
I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So you have graduated. Now you're getting ready to take the Iowa bar?
I'm actually getting ready to take the Arizona bar.
Okay, so we're reaching you in Arizona.
You are.
And that's where you plan to practice?
I do.
Mm-hmm. How are you preparing?
I will be taking Barbary's bar review course.
Okay. What is involved with that? How many hours will you be putting in to study for that bar?
I will probably be putting in about 7 to 8 hours a day from now until the end of July.
That's a long time.
It is.
So give us an idea of the test, the exam that is in front of you.
Well, the exam that's in front of me will cover a lot of different areas of the law, some things that I never studied in law school, so some things I will be learning from scratch. Others are things that I may have learned my first year of law school. So a lot of refreshing my memory of what I learned then. So it covers a huge array of subjects.
Now, as I said, the theory behind the bar exam that it makes sure that you're competent to practice law in that jurisdiction. Since you're in Arizona, are there also Arizona-specific law questions?
There are not on the Arizona bar.
There are not?
No.
Okay. Now you decided to go to Arizona. If you didn't have to take the bar in Iowa, would you have been more likely to stay here?
I don't think so. For me, I think when I started law school, it just taking the bar was what I expected to do no matter where I wanted to practice. I feel like a lot of different professions, you have to take some sort of competency test to make sure that you are competent. And so I think that I certainly, it wouldn't have made a difference. Mm-hmm. I found my career path just led me out of the state. And so I don't think that taking the bar or not taking the bar would have much effect.
How about the way that you approached law school when you were at the University of Iowa Law School? Had you known that you had to take the bar, you knew that was coming. Did that motivate you in a different way in law school and learning the
Certainly
curriculum?
It did. It did encourage me to take courses that I didn't necessarily have that much interest in because I knew that they would be bar subjects. And so I think I saved a couple courses for this past year that I knew would be on the bar and I knew would be difficult for me. And so I waited to take those later in law school so that it would be fresher in my memory.
Mm-hmm. So you think it did, knowing that that was waiting for you, did make your education more comprehensive?
It did.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of this suggestion that we also, in addition to Wisconsin, become a diploma privilege state so that the law schools, the University of Iowa Law School, Drake Law School, then acts as a gatekeeper?
I think there are pros and cons. I don't think that the bar is necessarily that effective. I personally am planning on practicing in employment law, and so I won't use a lot of the subjects that I will be tested on when I take the bar in July. At the same time, most law schools that I'm aware of don't require any sort of internship or practical experience to graduate, and so I find it kind of frightening that if this were to proceed, that students could graduate from law school without ever doing any sort of law practice.
Mm-hmm. But the bar exam doesn't give you practical experience
no.
either.
No, I do see it. I mean, that is just kind of a competency measure. And I think the other thing is passing is relative and graduating is relative. You can be the 99th percentile and still graduate. And so I think that's a little bit frightening.
Okay, Natalie, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations again, Natalie Verdin. And we hope with that bar exam in Arizona's way out there in July that you can enjoy some of your summer. Without being buried in the books too often here.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Natalie. Well, this hour on River to River, examining the bar exam, how valuable, how relevant is it? Is it an unnecessary hurdle, or could Iowa do better without it? The Iowa Bar Association recommending to the Iowa Supreme Court that Iowa's law schools should institute so-called diploma privilege for Iowa law school graduates, and the Iowa Supreme Court seeking public comment on that proposed change until July 14th. Joining us now is Guy Cook. He's a president of the Iowa State Bar Association. Full disclosure, Guy Cook is an Iowa Public Radio underwriter. Guy Cook, welcome back to our program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tell us, some people may be asking you to practice. You want to be fully accredited. Why propose doing away with this bar exam?
Right. Well, I would say, first of all, this is a little counterintuitive, and in some ways the question has been framed wrong. This is not about lowering the level of measuring competency. It's about enhancing it, making it greater. As you just heard from Natalie, the bar exam she's going to take does not test over Arizona law. And the Iowa bar exam, your listeners, non-lawyers, would be surprised to learn, does not test over Iowa law either. It's a multiple-choice test with a handful of essays prepared and graded by an out-of-state vendor that does it for profit. What this proposal does is put back into the power of our state government, more specifically the Supreme Court justices, the determination of what is the basic measure for competency. And specifically what the proposal does is if you complete a specified coursework over 3 years satisfactorily, meet the character and fitness competency requirement, and take an ethics test, upon your graduation, successfully completing these 3 years of specified coursework, you would be granted the diploma privilege and be able to practice law in Iowa. You know, there are good reasons for something like a bar exam was conceived, certainly as a means of testing basic competency in certain subject areas. That's a sensible function. But if a degree from one of the two excellent law schools in our state, Iowa and Drake, doesn't serve as the basic competency function, then we as a profession need to look at the core curriculum these law schools are having their students study. Students could still take a bar exam because this proposal also recommends adopting the uniform bar exam, which is immediately portable to 14 other states. But if they chose to take advantage of the diploma privilege, completing satisfactorily these 3 years of specified coursework and the character and fitness and the ethics, they'd be granted this diploma privilege under this proposal.
And Guy Cook, this was not made by one or two people. You drew together a blue ribbon committee comprised of?
Yes, well, I did. When I became, I was given the honor and responsibility about a year ago to become president of the bar. One of the things I looked at was the next generation of lawyers, the changing of the law practice, the digital revolution, the crushing debt load that these students have in the job market. And so I appointed a blue ribbon committee of lawyers and judges, young and old across the state, and asked them to look at legal education and licensure. It was made up also of the deans of both law schools, Dean Agarwal from Iowa and Dean Vestal from Drake, as well as Judge Mary Tabor from the Iowa Court of Appeals and Justice Thomas Waterman from Davenport on the Iowa Supreme Court. They met with no preconceived notion or agenda. The idea was to bring together the stakeholders and look for things that might be innovative or forward-thinking. After 6 months of study and review of the materials, they came forward with this recommendation unanimously.
Mm. Joining us now also, Chip Baltimore, Boone-based attorney. He's in-house counsel, vice president, and trust officer at Boone Bank and Trust, but also a state representative for Iowa's House District 47. Representative Baltimore, welcome to our program.
Great. Thank you for having me, Ben.
Why do you oppose this? You are not of the view that Guy Cook just expressed, that we should have this diploma privilege. Why not?
Well, I start from the premise that being a member of a profession here in the state of Iowa and really anywhere in this country holds you to a higher standard. And as your first guest, Natalie, indicated, taking the bar exam is a great way to prepare for actually going out and practicing law. We don't always have the luxury when we take a client in of being solely limited to one specific area of law, like Natalie wants to practice labor and employment law. Well, she may get a client that comes in that has a criminal problem or something like that, and she needs to have some core competencies in a lot of other areas. Now, maybe she took criminal law in the first year of her law school career, but she doesn't really remember a whole lot by the time she gets to year four or year five after she's graduated. Well, the bar exam is a great way to prepare students for being attorneys right out of the chute, because you do have very, very intense studying period of a lot of different areas. You know, Natalie's going to spend 7 or 8 hours a day for the next 4 months or 3 months trying to get ready for that exam. If students simply by graduating from law school had that core competency, they should be able to take the bar exam right away and not even have to study. But that's not the case, and I think we know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to let you continue with some other reasons, but I want to get Guy Cook's response to that. What about that? Natalie brought that up, that the fact that she had a bar exam facing her, Guy Cook, that she looked at classes in a different way. She studied in areas that she didn't think she would need for her specific practice later, but because she did, she has a more comprehensive umbrella understanding of the law. Isn't that valuable?
Well, I think she believes that. I think it's probably false, and that is because the surefire way to ensure that you don't retain information is to engage in a cram session to force stuff into your head so that you can complete essentially a memory test. The better practice, and professional educators would tell you this, is precisely what happens in law school, weeks, months, years of studying material. And this notion that somehow the bar exam motivates students to work harder in law school is also, I think, sort of a false argument. That assumes that there's no other stimulants that are adequate, such as the actual law school exams, the pressure to maintain your grades in law school, the pressure to find employment. one of the great things about the fact that we're adjacent to Wisconsin is we have a laboratory where this has been studied for 150 years. And no one thinks that the lawyers that graduate from the University of Wisconsin or Marquette are any less good lawyers or knowledgeable on the subjects that they might face. The other thing I would say is the bar exam really doesn't test over the kind of skills that you need to be a good lawyer. It's, as I said, a memory test. I think some people would call it a final hazing. It certainly does act to sort of test people's mettle, whether they can run through the coals barefoot. But The bar exam is not really something that tests over judgment, functional mastery of the subject areas, preparation to help clients. And, of course, the current test, which basically is one's ability to outwit 200 multiple-choice questions and a handful of essays. So it doesn't really serve that purpose.
Okay. Guy Cook is with us, president of the Iowa State Bar Association, also Chip Baltimore, state representative in the Iowa House of Representatives. Chip, I interrupted you so that Guy Cook could respond to that point. Now I'd like you to continue with your arguments that just to remind our listeners, the Iowa State Bar Association has recommended to the Iowa Supreme Court that our state's law school graduates shouldn't have to take the bar exam, but would be given what is called diploma privilege. They would be licensed to practice without passing that bar exam. Chip Baltimore.
Well, I think some of Guy's criticisms of the current bar exam are spot on. You know, the practicing law is not a multiple choice experience. But that's more a failing of the current bar exam, and I think it's also a potential failing of the uniform bar exam going forward, that it eliminates some of those critical thinking skills. I would much rather see us go back to the old style of the bar exam, which was essay-based, where you're actually having to spend much more time taking a certain set of facts and applying the law as you learned it, crammed or not. There still was requirements that you had to understand it and know how it worked. It was not just memorization at that point in time. And apply the law to that set of facts and demonstrate that you can make those analytical arguments that are necessary to being a good lawyer. So I think that this is more than just a bar exam, whether or not you should take it. I think it's what bar exam should you take. And I am quite critical of the current approach of let's go to this uniform concept where we're just doing multiple choice that's uniform across every state. And part of this proposal as well is that we're going to cover the Iowa aspects of this by having law students take a two-hour course on Iowa-specific law. I think that that's simply not sufficient to have law students come out after graduation and be competent to practice on that. But let me touch base on the debt concept a little bit. Our law students come out with an average of about $100,000 of debt. And one of the arguments that the proponents of this concept are making is that by delaying their ability to practice for roughly four and a half months while they're studying for and the bar exam, taking it and waiting for the results, is that they lose that income. Well, there are a lot of other ways to address the debt load that these students come in with. And I think that's rushing them into practicing law simply because they have a diploma, I think is a wrong-headed approach when it comes to trying to address the fundamental problem of the cost of a law school education on that.
Guy Cook, the Iowa Supreme Court has the final say here after a period of public input?
They do, and they will decide since they govern licensure of lawyers in Iowa. It's important to recognize that we actually sort of already have the diploma privilege in Iowa, in that if you graduated from Marquette or Wisconsin with the diploma privilege, were admitted to practice there and practice for 5 years, you can waive into Iowa. So the diploma privilege, in a sense, already exists here. What Representative Baltimore talked about, problems with the current bar exam, agree 100%. That's what the committee looked at. And sometimes people will say to me while I'm talking about this, it sounds like you're making a proposal to improve the bar exam. Mm-hmm. And I say, spot on. How about instead of a test over 2 days, one test, how about several tests over several months? How about several tests over several years? How about the tests that take place in law school? And how about having a specific curriculum, not just 2 hours, a specific curriculum as approved and authorized by the Iowa Supreme Court? And if you successfully complete that, as well as the character and fitness and the ethics portion, you can be granted this diploma privilege. It really does. It's not about reducing student debt. These are things that it throws these benefits off. But it's about ensuring greater competency for the public and the next generation of lawyers.
Guy Cook, what is the position of the governor?
Well, that's interesting. The governor, I think, was caught off guard at one of his press conferences and made some comments about, you know, I took the bar exam, you should have to as well. Sort of the old joke, I walk barefoot to school, you should too also. And I had the opportunity to visit with his staff, excellent legal staff that he has, and the governor himself, and had about 30 minutes to discuss this with him. And he can speak for himself, but I think that he's come around to understanding the value of this because of you remove the measure of what it is to become an Iowa lawyer from a third-party testing group that doesn't test over Iowa law, that does it for profit, and puts it back in the hands of our local government, the Supreme Court of Iowa, who gets to decide what courses you must successfully complete in collaboration with the law schools. And I think that's a Republican principle that he likes, as well as this notion that throwing off this idea of one of the benefits it throws off is helping reduce student debt, then these students aren't chasing the highest salary when they graduate. They might take a job in Sigourney or Ottumwa or Sibley as opposed to Des Moines or Cedar Rapids. And it increases access to justice, and it generates economic development without costing the state a penny.
Now, to our knowledge here, the governor has not said he is in favor of this diploma privilege. Are you saying, Guy Cook, that he has come around? He will at some point publicly say he's in favor of it?
Well, like I said, he can speak for himself. I won't speak for him. But I think he's more open-minded on the subject after speaking with him and speaking with his staff, and as well as Lieutenant Governor. They were very kind to give me some time to present the proposal, talk about the literature and data behind it. And frankly, once you pull back the curtain and look at the data and details, this makes all the sense in the world. And as I said, it's a little counterintuitive. And reasonable people can disagree. You can just ask my wife. But the idea is if you look at the data, and I would encourage folks who are interested in this subject to go to iowabar.org, and on the very front page is the actual written proposal as well as some scholarly articles on whether we need a bar exam and the diploma privilege history and are there alternatives. I would say this, too, that you know, every innovative, forward-thinking approach has had, you know, naysayers, particularly those who are not fully focused on the facts. And so I'd encourage people to really study this because Cedar Rapids Gazette editorial board had an essay that basically said they were sort of against it.
Okay, let's get one more caller in. And Chip Baltimore, I will have time for you to respond after a break. We're coming up on a break. Let's see if we can get quickly a caller in. Ann from Des Moines. Ann, are you a graduate from law school here in Iowa?
Yes, I am. I'm a Drake University graduate, class of 1978. And the point I would like to make is that the bar is a self-governing organization. The bar disciplines its own attorneys. It wants to ensure that attorneys are the best in terms of substance and practice, and that so the bar has every reason to promote innovations that make sure that help to ensure that people who are out there practicing are doing it at the highest level. So the natural thing for the bar to want to do is to improve competency, and I tend to agree that the bar exam is something that law school graduates look at with dread to a large extent, and that having more incremental and specific exams, I think it sounds more logical.
Okay, Ann in Des Moines, thank you very much. We have to take a break. Join our conversation. Should Iowa law school graduates from Drake and Iowa's law schools, have to take the bar exam to practice law in the state? Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. The Iowa Bar Association, Iowa State Bar Association, has recommended to the Iowa State Supreme Court that our state's law school graduates from either the University of Iowa or Drake University, our only two law schools in the state, shouldn't have to take the state bar exam to practice in the state. We're discussing that this hour with Guy Cook, president of the Iowa State Bar Association. He says this move is long overdue. Chip Baltimore is with us, state representative in the Iowa House. He is not convinced that this is the right move to make. This proposed change is something that's already been in place for many decades in Wisconsin. We'll talk with some legal minds there in just a moment. Wanted to turn to you, Chip Baltimore, to give you a chance to respond, but also to ask, do you support any sort of change in our current system that would make it better for educating our legal minds in the state?
Well, I absolutely do. I think that it's imperative that our law schools here in the state of Iowa continue to focus more on Iowa law than for those students that are going to be practicing here. I think that's certainly important. I think, as I already mentioned, that returning the Iowa bar exam to an Iowa law-based competency exam is much more important than trying to change it the other direction, which is let's get rid of an exam that has become less effective simply because it doesn't test on Iowa law anymore.
Mm-hmm. How did that happen, Guy Cook? Do you know the background? It seems funny. You're preparing someone to practice law in this jurisdiction, and yet there are no Iowa-specific questions on that test.
Well, it's not right, and nor should the test be multiple choice. When I took the bar exam 30-plus years ago, it was all essay, 2.5 days, and you had your results a day and a half later. And that was a pretty good test. We were one of the last holdouts. And what happened actually is this sort of march across the country of this outfit that makes money providing the exam, selling the notion that science required some uniform test. And those things came together. And this notion that licenses should be portable that led to ultimately the adoption of the multi-state bar exam, which was incrementally changed. Initially, it had some Iowa-based aspects to it. It does not now. And people actually say, aren't you talking about improving the bar exam, as I mentioned earlier? And we are, in a sense, making it not just one test, but many tests over 3 years. The thing that I think people would be surprised to learn is that the Iowa pass rate, even of this test, is significantly high. Most recently in the 94% range. So on its face, this exam, this final hazing, doesn't serve to weed out any incompetence. It's not really a competency test. It's a memory test. And the 6% who don't pass the first time, if you look at information from the Iowa Supreme Court, for example, July of last year, there was a 98% pass rate by the University of Iowa graduates. And those who took it the second time passed 100%. So it's not serving as a competency barrier or a measure. It's an antiquated system that can be improved by adopting the diploma privilege, which serves a much higher purpose of ensuring greater competency. Now, one thing I would say for those folks who don't plan to practice in Iowa, this is limited to those students who wish to remain in Iowa. There would still be a bar exam under this proposal by the Blue Ribbon Committee. It would adopt the uniform bar exam, which I said earlier is immediately portable to 14 other states. And so a student wouldn't have to take advantage of the diploma privilege curriculum. They could still study, and I said this sort of facetiously to groups, if they wanted to study comparative law in Bosnia, they could do that. It just wouldn't go towards crediting for the diploma privilege. So we wouldn't be going backward. We'd be going forward, be adopting the uniform bar exam and then carving out this diploma privilege to ensure greater competency for Iowa and Drake graduates.
I want to introduce one other perspective in here before we say goodbye here. Angela Onwuachi-Willig is a professor of law at the University of Iowa College of Law. She couldn't join us live this afternoon, but I did have a chance to talk with her earlier today with her perspective. Angela Onwuachi-Willig, professor of law at the University of Iowa College of Law. Welcome to our program.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Professor, you have an interesting experience with the Iowa Bar. You were being considered for a nomination to the Iowa Supreme Court recently, but there was a hurdle that couldn't be overcome. What was it?
The hurdle was that I wasn't yet barred in Iowa. I was barred to practice. I was barred in another state. I could practice law in another state, but not yet in Iowa.
And so there was no way around that to get you the nomination?
There was a way around it. There's a common process of waiving into a bar, and if you're barred in one state, you can waive into practice in another state if you have the requisite number of years of experience, and I was in that position. So I was in the process of waiving in, but it was a lengthy process, and it hadn't yet been completed by the time I was being considered for the Supreme Court.
You know, the discussion of our program is whether law school graduates in Iowa need to pass the bar to practice law in the state. Do you think that's necessary?
I don't think think that they need to take a bar exam to practice law in the state. I like the idea of the diploma privilege. I like the idea of having students, if they want to be automatically barred in the state, take a required set of courses and to do well enough in each of those courses to demonstrate that they have the basic knowledge that we would expect any beginning lawyer to have after they graduated from law school.
Mm-hmm. So the College of Law steps up to the plate and becomes more of a gatekeeper.
Yes. I mean, I think in many ways, what students experience with the bar review is that in many ways it ends up being a review of what they've learned in law school. And it ends up being a really costly process for them. Those courses cost thousands of dollars. Students lose working time during the summer as they're preparing for the bar and preparing for material that many of them already know. And so I think that there are lots of reasons to have the diploma privilege.
Angela, you are an African-American, obviously also a woman. Do you detect any biases in the Iowa bar?
Well, you know, biases exist in lots of standardized tests, and they exist for a lot of reasons. There is a known disparity between the passage rate on the bar exam between white law school graduates and minority law school graduates. And there are a variety of reasons for that. I mean, one thing could be stereotype threat. Some people in general have test anxiety. Some people who would be wonderful lawyers don't do well on tests. And I think there are biases just in general in law. And part of my research focuses on how there are all kinds of invisible assumptions and biases that creep into the law because of the things that people who create the law take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
That applies to gender as well. That applies to class. It applies to race. I don't have any empirical data, but it wouldn't surprise me that the bar exam in general would be as biased in all those respects as other kinds of standardized tests.
Okay, Angela Onwuachi-Willig, professor of law at the University of Iowa College of Law. Thank you for your perspective.
Thank you.
Now back live with Chip Baltimore and Guy Cook. Before we end this conversation, I want to give each of you a chance just to mention what you haven't, perhaps react to something that Angela, Professor Onwuachi-Willig, said before we say goodbye. Chip Baltimore, would you like to start off?
Well, I think...
What would you like to leave us with? What thoughts?
Well, I think that the thought that I've got primarily is that it's innovation that got us into this mess in the first place. If the current Iowa bar exam is not an effective tool for determining competency for someone to practice law in Iowa, as Guy mentioned, you know, back when he and I took the Iowa bar exam, it was much more comprehensive about Iowa law and much more useful. And because the Iowa Supreme Court decided along the way that we needed to be more innovative, to use that word, we started adopting these multiple choice tests, which I fully agree are wholly ineffective in determining a lawyer's competency. But now we're trying to fix poorly thought out innovation with more innovation. That I think instead of actually improving upon the overall system, we are going to end up making it easier for people to practice in this honorable profession. We don't do this for doctors. We don't do this for dentists, CPAs. If we're going to require all of these other professions to take competency exams, I don't see why why practicing law is any different.
Guy Cook, I've got about a minute for you. We had some callers calling up during the break, actually outraged, I think, was the characterization that this change would be put forth because, as mentioned there by Chip Baltimore, dealing with people's lives. Why not certify them like doctors, like RNs and so forth? I just have a minute for you, Guy, if you could stick to that.
Right. Well, we are certifying with the diploma privilege, requiring them to be certified over a 3-year period of multiple tests. And, of course, being a doctor is not the same as being a lawyer. It's apples and oranges. But this starts from the wrong premise that we're going to lower the competency measurement. We're not going to test people. We're going to take away the test. We're going to add multiple tests, multiple requirements over a 3-year period that must be satisfied and completed by requirements of the Iowa Supreme Court. The current bar exam is nothing more than a final hazing. I've taken it. I've graded it. And nobody remembers anything they learned on the bar exam. It doesn't serve the purpose that people think it does. And this approach is about innovation, forward thinking to ensure greater competence. And the diploma privilege just does just that. It requires this satisfactory completion, this specified coursework, this competency, including on Iowa Law and Practice. And demanding that people shovel huge amounts of obscure knowledge covering subjects for a one-time test is a surefire way to minimize retention.
Okay, Guy Cook, thank you very much. President of the Iowa State Bar Association, Chip Baltimore, State Representative from the Iowa House. Thank you both for your views.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
This hour we're talking about allowing lawyers who haven't passed a bar exam to practice if they've graduated from one of Iowa's two law schools, either at Drake or at the University of Iowa. The Iowa Bar Association has recommended to the Iowa State Supreme Court that Iowa's law schools should institute this so-called diploma privilege for Iowa law school graduates, meaning that they wouldn't have to take the bar exam to practice in the state. And court is getting public input until July 14th. Guy Cook says a committee of Iowa attorneys are behind the recommendation and are modeling their proposal after the state of Wisconsin's. Now, Wisconsin has granted in-state law students a diploma privilege since its law schools were established, and that's why we thought it'd be a good idea at the end of this program to check in with a couple of legal minds in Wisconsin. Jim Morrison is with us, the circuit judge for Marinette County, Wisconsin. He used to serve as chair of the State Board of Bar Examiners. Judge Morrison, welcome to our program.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Also, Meg Gaines is with us, Associate Dean of Academic Affairs at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Dean Gaines, welcome.
Thank you.
Jim Morrison, we've got a few minutes here, but give it not too much time for history, but why did Wisconsin end up as the only state having this diploma privilege? It's been in place for how many years?
It's been in place about 75 years. There were many states that had it in the past. Over the years, they got rid of it. Wisconsin has always had a dual-track diploma privilege for the graduates of the University of Wisconsin in Marquette and the bar exam for all the rest of us, including me, who went to school somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. So Do you see any downside to doing it the way that Wisconsin does it for the past 75 years?
Not at all. And there's no statistical difference between the quality of lawyers or the protection of the public that we've ever been able to see between graduates of Wisconsin and Marquette on the one hand and graduates of other law schools who take the bar exam.
Mm-hmm. No more people, lawyers, disbarred, suspended in Wisconsin where attorneys don't have to take the bar?
We can see no difference whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. What about helping retain attorneys who study in the state? Does that do anything there? Have you measured that at all?
Well, we haven't measured it, but I know, and I can't speak for Wisconsin, but I know that Dean Kearney from Marquette was very interested in the bar exam because I think his position was he got better applicants coming into the school in the first place. I can't, and perhaps Professor Gaines can speak for Wisconsin, but I know that that was certainly the position of Dean Kearney, that it improved his student body.
Mm-hmm. Professor Gaines, can you speak to that point, first of all?
I don't have facts that indicate that, but I think it is a draw, certainly. I mean, you would think that if it were going to be anything, it would be a draw. That is, people who are interested in staying in Wisconsin, particularly Wisconsin residents, but others who are interested in coming here because they'll get a top quality education and will not be required to sort of play the bar game at the end.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are Associate Dean of Academic Affairs at the University of Wisconsin's Law School. How does that work with the diploma privilege there? Does it change? I guess you've had it for 75 years. You wouldn't know it's changed. But can you speak to Iowa's situation contemplating this, how a law school curriculum might want to change to accommodate this diploma privilege?
Well, the Supreme Court has specific rules about both the kinds of what you might call distribution requirements, the kinds of courses students have to take in order to be eligible to be for the diploma privilege admission, and certain grade point average requirements have to be met in those areas, as well as overall in receiving the JD degree. So there are requirements that affect the curriculum affect what students have to take if they decide they want to be admitted to the bar. So I think it would potentially have some impact on Iowa's curriculum in that sense. But I think it has different effects on how courses are taught within the subject area itself.
Larry is joining us from Coralville. Larry, you had a question? Perhaps Professor Gaines or Judge Morrison can tackle.
Yes, I have a question with regard to the competency and for new law students or new lawyers working in the state. Does Wisconsin, does Iowa, or any other school have a required internship where they might work for 6 months in a law office in order to get a hands-on experience before they go into before they graduate?
Okay, Larry, thank you for that question. Jim Morrison, Judge Morrison, I don't know if you were with us, but we had Natalie, a new graduate at the University of Iowa Law School, say, you know, I'm a little anxious because I've been through law school. I'm preparing for the bar. I have no practical experience.
That's a very legitimate concern. We studied what we would make a bar exam experience look like in Wisconsin and specifically studied the question of should we have some kind of mentorship. I think we strongly favor a mentorship as a practical matter. The logistical difficulties are real. Not many states do it because they're difficult, but I think it would be a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the American Bar Association is this summer will be weighing a proposal to require 6 credits of experiential learning in order to complete the JD.
Now, Professor Gaines, I understand you recently returned from an Associate Dean's Conference. Do you get any sense outside of Wisconsin when you go to other parts of the country how they view your diploma privilege in Wisconsin?
Yeah, they're envious because we don't have to teach to a test. We get to teach to a practice standard. And I think people envy that because I think they feel trapped in teaching to the test sometimes.
You feel that way, Judge Morrison?
Well, I think that's certainly true. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We had a new law graduate at the beginning of the hours talking about the fact that she paid more attention in classes because she knew the bar was coming. Certain classes that were outside her more narrow law that she planned to practice afterwards. Isn't that an argument for this, Judge Morrison?
Well, first of all, I think a law student doesn't really have any idea, honestly, what sort of law they're going to practice. The things that I thought I would be interested in when I was a law student in 1970 turned out not to be the case at all when I actually became a lawyer. So I don't think that that's a legitimate argument. I think she's telling you what she honestly believes, but the practicality is you should get the broadest possible legal education that you can because you never know what opportunities are going to present themselves to you down the road.
Does this type of system, the diploma privilege, work in every state situation that you can see, or does it matter, for instance, how many law schools there are in a particular state? In Iowa State, there are 2. Professor Gaines?
I think it is more manageable in Wisconsin than it might be in some place like California because we have because we have 2 law schools, and we can keep a very strong connection on quality and relevance of the curriculum and quality control. I mean, I think that's the main thing. That said, I'm not sure it wouldn't be possible in larger states with more law schools.
Judge Morrison, does it specifically fit certain states and not others?
Well, it fits ours for certain, and I think one of the things that's important to keep in mind is that our Board of Bar Examiners, by Supreme Court rule, includes a representative of the Dean of the University of Wisconsin and the Dean of Marquette University as full active members of the board. They go to all the meetings, they grade the bar exams just like all the rest of us did. So they really have a close feel for the kinds of issues we're grappling with, and that helps a tremendous amount.
You've taken, Judge Morrison, how many bar exams?
3.
Mm-hmm. Where did you take them?
Illinois,
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Are they all this similar? We heard a lot of criticism about the multiple choice nature of it. Are they all that way?
Well, my first Illinois bar exam didn't have the multi-state. It started the next year. I took the Wisconsin and the Michigan exams. They both had multi-state and state law components. And I've graded the Wisconsin bar exam about 25 times. So I've got kind of a handle on those. I think if you have just a multi-state, that's a mistake from my own perspective.
Mm-hmm. Any advice in a few seconds to give to Iowa? Should we put your diploma privilege into practice? Fine-tuning points that you've learned over years, Judge Morrison?
I think it's important to have the very close connection between the law schools and the Board of Bar Examiners in the way we discussed.
Final thoughts from you, Professor Gaines?
Well, just that if anybody has concerns about the quality of students that are coming out, in July 2013, the Illinois bar passage rate on the July bar was 85%, and the Wisconsin grad passage rate was 96%. So our students seem to be able to sit for bar exams successfully, despite the fact that we don't have a bar exam that they have to train for.
Associate Dean of Academic Affairs at the University of Wisconsin Law School, Meg Gaines, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Judge Jim Morrison, a circuit judge for Marinette County in Wisconsin and former chair of the State Board of Bar Examiners in Wisconsin. Judge Morrison, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon and Emily Woodbury. Our technical support from Dennis Reese. Executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk show is Catherine Perkins. Tomorrow on the program, of course, it's Wednesday, Politics Day. We hope you'll tune in as we discuss the races here in Iowa. The primaries are coming up, of course. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.